Welcome back to Dishing Heat with Wolfie and Big Shot Song. I'm your host, Max Song, and today I have a very special guest on, Martin Paul. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's an honor.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about yourself, man. Where are you coming in from?
All right, well, originally I was born in 04, you know, Bronxville, New York, and I've had quite the life story. I mean, I've lived in New York 12 years, and then I moved to Australia, where I spent 6 years of my life there, and now I am residing in Europe for the time being. I plan to stay here for a year, and then I go to college in New York
or anywhere else. That's dope, man. So if you were born in New York, I'm assuming you're either a Knicks fan or a Nets fan. Are you fans of both, one or the other?
Nah, man, it's Nets for life for me personally. I mean, the Nets I grew up with, and I lived a little bit in New Jersey for like about 4 months. I had close family there, family friends. And I started watching in the era where Vince Carter was on the Nets, you know, really, really young days. I was like two or three. Shit, 2005, 2006. And yeah, Jason Kidd as well. But I watched back the tape, and Kenyon Martin as well is probably my favorite player of all time just by watching him on the highlights. But yeah, the Nets for me, it was always the Nets growing up.
That's pretty dope. All right, well, thanks for coming on. Today we're going to talk about a couple of things. So first, we're gonna have to talk about that Grizzly controversy, what's happened in just the past hour. And then after that, because it's the Grizzlies with Ja, who said they're fine in the West, we're going to talk about if they're fine in the West, and we're going to talk about who you think is going to come out of each conference. But let's start with the Grizzlies controversy. Tell me what you think. What the hell is going on with Ja Morant right now?
I'm not even going to lie, man. I mean, it's really what he did, and it's a mystery to us all why he chose to do the stuff he does right now. But I just really feel disappointed in him because he is supposed to set an example. I mean, this guy came out of the suburbs, you feel me? So he was, you know, he had everything going for him right from the start. He made a great NBA career already, you know. He's a supreme athlete, and he's a guy that kids look up to, mind you. Like, many people have his jersey. He's one of the most like popular athletes in the United States of America, my man. Like, to see him like have accusations, and eventually it might be proven, I'm not saying it will, like innocent until proven guilty, but if he's proven to do the stuff he does with a gun or threaten people, beating up 12-year-olds, a point, you know, lasers at the Indiana Pacers staff members, that's not a good look. I mean, you should be leading by an example, and you choose to do this lifestyle. It's like Shaquille O'Neal said, or Shannon Sharp. You have all that money and you still want to act like you come from something that you're not. You know, it's disappointing. And I think Josh should really change up his attitude.
Yeah, I agree completely. Like, I don't know what he's doing, to be honest. I don't know how an NBA player of his stature gets to this point. Does he not have anyone guiding him in his life? He's a father figure. He has teammates, coaches. I don't know how you get to this point and how immature you have to be at this age to do something like that, to jeopardize your entire future, man. And I agree. Like, he has such a huge platform. It's interesting how the NBA let it slide almost until he had that Instagram Live this morning at 2 a.m. He had numerous allegations, but the NBA didn't do anything about it. Like, if Kyrie, for example, or any other controversial player, like Enes Kanter, did anything like that, they'd be suspended instantly. So Ja was just suspended for 2 games, but I think the NBA needs to be a little stricter on this, and I hope they look into it properly, because I hope Adam Silver doesn't prioritize the money that Ja brings in over setting a good example.
Well, for one thing, unfortunately, we learned that some things ain't never going to change. Money's always going to be a corporation or a business's number one priority. So, of course, they're going to be, you know, more lenient to those who give them more revenue, which sucks because that's how corrupt the world is nowadays. But I'm not going to get into that. The point is that in our world, I think, me personally, I believe everybody, depending on the severity of their actions, they should be punished for that. You know, Kyrie, honestly, despite the fact that he's not on our team anymore, I really, really am disappointed by the fact that the NBA really dug into him like that and made him like complete side missions in GTA just for him to even get back into a few games. But with Ja Morant, he could have killed people. Like, his stupidity could have cost lives. So, like, this is something that is much more than 2 games, in my opinion. That's worth the side quest, my guy.
I totally agree. I don't see where this ends in a good thing for Ja Morant. If he's only gone for 2 games, if the allegations are found to be true, that's ridiculous to me. But that's enough enough negativity around Ja Morant. Let's move on to other players on the Grizzlies. Prayers up to Brandon Clark. Man, he's from Canada. I'm in Canada, so prayers up to the Canadian. But he's been great for the Grizzlies this year, averaging 10 points per game on something like 67% shooting. He does a little bit of everything. He cuts, he gets boards, he dives for loose balls. And then Dylan Brooks, I don't like Dylan Brooks. Like he's kind of like what Ja has been accused of, has been like a bully. He's just thinks he's tough when he's not actually tough, but he's been pretty good for the Grizzlies this year too. He's a decent shooter, he drives really well, a great defender on the Grizzlies. He's a tough guy. So, what do you think of the Grizzlies now with Dylan Brooks being suspended, Ja Morant being suspended, Brandon Clark being injured? Do you think they're going to go on a little a losing streak?
Well, once again, the Grizzlies, I mean, their locker room, it's got to be about having a new attitude, because some personnel in there, it depends how they mesh, because I like their depth. Like we've seen it in previous years, that the Grizzlies have actually managed to have great coaching and, you know, great bench contributions with Tyus Jones, underrated point guard, Steven Adams, the most underrated center in the game, Jaren Jackson Jr., defensive player of the year, front runner. You know, he's got to line up. The stars got to line up. But this year it hasn't. You know, the Grizzlies, they got bailed out most of the time by good coaching. But overall, to me, I think they're going to go on a little bit of a slide. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. If you just look at the Grizzlies' next couple of games, they're facing the Clippers. I think they'll probably lose that, even though the Clippers have lost 5 in a row. The Lakers, if they have Anthony Davis, they'll probably also lose that. Then the Warriors, the Mavericks again, the Heat. That's a tough couple of games and not have your best players. So I think I agree with you. They'll go on a little streak. But on that point then, let's talk about the Western Conference overall. So the seeding right now goes Nuggets first. Then it goes Grizzlies, Kings, Suns, Warriors, Mavs, T-Wolves, Clippers, Jazz, and Pelicans. So let's discuss who you think is going to win each matchup. So let's look at the play-in first. Between the 9th and the 10th seed, there's the Jazz on the 9th seed and the 10th seed being the Pelicans. Who do you think wins that play-in game?
I love Lauri Markkanen, and I really do. European represent, but I got to go with the Pelicans on this one. Utah isn't equipped with the personnel to get past the Pelicans, especially at full strength.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. The Pelicans were the first seed when everyone was healthy. Hopefully Zion comes back. It's so frustrating to see him out because he was somehow underrated in the time he was playing because he's so efficient and he draws so much attention. It's almost like a Steph Curry effect. He's gotten better at playmaking. His defense is still questionable, but yeah, I agree the Pelicans win that series. Then between the 7th and the 8th seed, the T-Wolves and the Clippers, who do you think wins that game?
Ooh, a rematch of last year. I'm not even going to lie. This is a tough one, a really tough one. Unfortunately, though, I think I'm going to have to go with the Los Angeles Clippers because Kawhi Leonard is a difference maker.
For real. And Kawhi has been, if you exclude the first 10 games of the season where he was really bad, he's shooting 50-40-90 on the season on like 26 points per game. And he's been locking up lately. Even though the Clippers' defense has been really bad, he's personally been locking up lately. And yeah, I agree. I think the Clippers win that series. Even if Carl Anthony Towns comes back, which I don't know if he will at this point, I still think the Clippers are a better, deeper team. Then regards to the Timberwolves, who, if you assume that they lose to the Clippers, and the Pelicans, if you assume they win towards the Jazz, between those two, who do you think wins the 8th seed? Keeping in mind that the Timberwolves only have to win one game, and the Pelicans have to win two games.
Well, the Pelicans did exactly that last year, so it's kind of a tough question to if they could repeat it. But given the experience and, you know, the Timberwolves, you know, how much they lost in the Rudy Gobert trade and also losing Karl Anthony Towns, there'll be a few X factors like Jaden McDaniels, you know, and I don't even know who anybody else really except Naz Reid. But I think the Pelicans will do it again.
Well, I think it's going to be really tough because the Wolves have been looking a lot better as of late with Ant. Ant seemingly has a bad first quarter basically every game, and then he somehow scores 30 in the rest of the game. Like, it's kind of ridiculous. So I think if Ant has one of those nights where he just can't be stopped, I don't see the Pelicans winning two games off of them. But
I don't understand how I forgot Anthony Edwards. Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but like other than that, I agree. I think the Pelicans are the deeper team. They had the best player in the series, in my opinion. If Zion comes back healthy, so let's go with the Pelicans there. So then we're getting into the actual playoffs, past the play-in. which would be the Nuggets versus the Pelicans. Who wins that series and in how many games?
Well, the Pelicans had their number before. However, I mean, in the playoffs, Nikola Jokic, who I think will win his third MVP in a row, I believe for a fact that the Nuggets and the offense is going to be a little too much for the Pelicans to handle, but it will be they'll hold their own. So I'm going to say Nuggets in six.
I'm gonna agree. Nuggets in six. Next seeding is currently the Grizzlies. I think they'll probably drop, but the Grizzlies versus the Clippers.
I'm going to say the Clippers in seven games.
I'm gonna do a little bit shorter than that. I'm gonna say Clippers in six. I think they match up really well with the Grizzlies, actually.
Only reason I'm saying seven is because, Ja Morant has been really good in the playoffs. I mean, he kind of was last year. Like, the first series wasn't too good, but then he got himself back against the Warriors. It's just that, the young energy and Desmond Bane stepping up, it's going to make it a little tough. And plus, Russell Westbrook is still a really big question mark.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Clippers should bring Russ off the bench because it screws up their spacing. They were the best 3-point shooting team in the league, and now they suck because if you watch the game against the Warriors, Draymond Green literally just stood in the paint grabbing boards. So Russ needs to come off the bench. But yeah, it could be a really close series because Ja is a great performer in the playoffs, and I think the X factor is Desmond Bane because Desmond Bane, in my opinion, is the best. Like one of the best 3-point shooters in the league, and he can do a little bit of everything off the dribble as well. So he's one of the best sidekicks. People talk about Jaren Jackson Jr. a lot, but I think Desmond Bane is going to be the X factor in that series. But I still think Clippers win it as well. Moving on to the th
Don't you
no no yeah go ahead go
forget
ahead.
even that don't you ever forget though that Jaren Jackson Jr. does have bad defensive discipline. It's improved this year, but he does foul way too much
Yeah,
in the playoffs.
he does, and I think. If you look at the Clippers roster, they have a lot of players that can draw fouls. Paul George, amazing at drawing fouls. Kawhi Leonard, amazing at drawing fouls. And what I like about Jaren Jackson Jr. though is his ability to do a kind of drop coverage, but also step up on screens, which is necessary when facing this Clippers team because they are lethal from like a deep mid-range. So I think it's a tough matchup for the Clippers, but I still think ultimately they do upset the Grizzlies here. But if we talk about the 3-6 matchup, then that's currently the Sacramento Kings versus the Dallas Mavericks with my boy Kyrie on it. Who do you think wins that series?
I'm gonna go for an upset, my man. I'm gonna take the Kings in six games.
Oh, really?
I personally, look, honestly, last year Kyrie Irving got swept with Kevin Durant on the Nets. Obviously, that was a very different situation and all that, but you saw what they did the other day with Luka dropping 41 and Kyrie. I think the same points. No, was it 43? I forgot, but I don't see that happening enough. The defense of the Mavericks is still very much in question. They don't have the right depth to go around. I mean, you're telling me that Davis Bertans is depth? No, the Kings currently, as it stands, have the best offensive record of all time. Sabonis is an excellent playoff performer when he was in it. I believe in him. De'Aaron Fox is going to also be an underrated player, still is. I just think that the Kings have they outmatch the Mavericks. They have the pace. I think it's a wrap, honestly. I mean, it'll be really close in the end, but I think the Kings are going to do it. They are a well-coached team.
I'm gonna disagree with you here. I'm gonna say Mavs in six, and there's really one reason why. It's because of Luka's playoff performances. I think you forget that with just Jalen Brunson, basically, he beat really, really good teams last year to get to the conference finals. He beat the Suns basically all by himself, and I think the Suns last year are definitely a better team than Kings this year. And I agree, the Kings have by far the best offense, but I think that the Mavericks can match them, especially in the playoffs. I think Kyrie will play a lot better off of the Mavericks, off of Luka Doncic's playoff production, because once he starts doing his playoff thing, they have to double triple him, which means Kyrie will be open. And we both know how good Kyrie can be when he is left open, because he's a great catch and shoot player, because he doesn't even dip the ball when he catches and shoots it. So I think it's gonna be really close. I'm gonna take Mavericks in six. I think the Mavericks defense will improve because they just got Maxi Kleber back. That's a huge addition for them. I think the Kings are just
Man.
like I don't know. I don't trust in De'Aaron Fox to be as good because you say they play with a lot of pace. This is true, but in the playoffs, the game slows down when you can analyze your opponent's like a tactics, because you run back on defense, you hustle a lot faster, the pace slows down, and a lot of the Kings' offense relies on transition. And I don't think Sabonis in the half court is good enough to beat Luka and Kyrie in the half court. So I'm going to take Mavs in six.
Well, I think that's a very good point. And as a matter of fact, this is why I need to think more often before I do anything else. Because for starters, I'm a big fan of upsets. I really, really enjoy seeing a good upset or two happen in the playoffs. And that's why I root for them so much. And yeah, that's why I didn't give much thought into it. But second of all, I want us to consider a lot of different things too. But I'm just going to keep it brief and say that when going into the playoffs, it's about a whole team effort and not just the star players. That's why I look at the entire team and I think about depth. You know, like Malik Monk, for example, he's been a sixth man of the year candidate. He's been doing so well for the Kings. They got other weapons off the bench like Terrence Davis. They got, I was about to say Matthew Dellavedova, but they got some other players that I can't recall at this moment in time. But I think team depth is really underrated in the playoffs, and that, I think, is going to help a lot, and coaching.
I actually think the Mavericks' depth is better than you think. They don't have good defenders off the bench, but they have really good scorers. Tim Hardaway Jr. has explosive shooting ability. Christian Wood can give you anywhere from 20 to 35 a night. Josh Green is the perfect player next to Luka Doncic. When he plays 30 minutes, I think they're basically undefeated. JaVale McGee is a veteran. He can do some damage in the paint, especially next to Luka and Kyrie, especially in the playoffs.
They don't play him.
Yeah, they should play him. I don't know why they're still playing Dwight Powell, but it is what it is. I think he'll play more in the playoffs because of his veteran experience. So I think the Mavs' depth is underrated, but ultimately I think Luka by himself is almost good enough to overcome the Kings. So, but I'll give it to you here. Mm-hmm. I'll let the Kings win this one so we can continue with this conversation.
Alrighty, let's get to it.
Yeah. 4 and 5 seed then, the Suns versus the Warriors, with KD on the Suns now, mind you.
Oh, wow. Goodbye, Golden State. I'm taking Phoenix in 5.
I'm going to take Phoenix in 6. I think that Curry and Clay will pop off 2 games, and that will win the 2 games, but I don't think it's going to be particularly close. The Suns are better at scoring. They're better at defense. They're just better at everything. They just work better as a team, too, because they're cohesive. Without KD, you add KD, who is the best plug-and-play player in NBA history. They don't need that much time to build that much kind of chemistry. I'm going to give Suns in 6, but yeah, I think they're too much for the Warriors.
I mean, for me, like, Steph going up against Steph and Clay, and, you know, that entire team built on that championship culture, they definitely could steal 2 games, but I'm saying 1 because, you know, injuries happen, and Draymond Green, you know, with Jordan – no, sorry, that's long gone. What am I talking about? It's just – the team isn't as good as it was last year, and I don't see them doing any better this time around. In fact, this is where it all ends for me. And so the Suns, just absolutely phenomenal-looking team on paper, and it already looks like it's translating into results. I mean, the moment KD gets back to his 100% status, because I don't think he's at that, I think that the Suns are going to be really, really tough in the playoffs.
I'm going to agree. Okay, then moving on to the second round of the playoffs. It's going to be the Nuggets versus the Suns. Who do you think is going to win this series?
Did you just say the Suns?
Yeah, Nuggets versus the Suns. Second round.
My bad.
Yeah.
That might be the best series of the playoffs. One of. We might see Bucks versus Celtics. We might see, you know, who knows what else. But Nuggets versus the Suns. I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. I'll hear what you have to say first, because that is a tough one.
I'm going to take Suns in 6. And although I love the Nuggets, I think this is the worst possible matchup for them. They have 3 of the best mid-range shooters in NBA history. KD, Book, and Chris Paul. And they play drop coverage. What is Jokic going to do with those 3 when they pull up for their middies? It's crazy. Jokic is an underrated defender, but he can't stand a chance against those 3 when he's playing drop coverage. He's said himself that he has a lot of trouble with DeAndre Ayton, because DeAndre Ayton, although he's not that aggressive, he's big and physical and hits Jokic. And then if we look at the Nuggets' depth, it's not as good as you think it is. Michael Porter Jr. can come off the bench, can like start and hit a couple of shots. Aaron Gordon has been phenomenal this year, but the Suns, just you're not going to be able to stop them at all. If you start Jokic, even though he has phenomenal passes, I don't think he can guard any of these players. So I don't think it's close, really, in terms of talent. And in terms of chemistry, the Nuggets have the best chemistry in the entire NBA because Jokic is a heliocentric offense. He gets wide open shots for everyone. But look at the Suns' defense. It's been good. Chris Paul can definitely bother Jamal Murray. KD can guard. KD's such an underrated defender at this point in his career. He can guard basically everyone in the Nuggets. So I'm going to take Suns in six. I think this is a horrible matchup for the Nuggets.
I agree with you. And you know what? Because of that horrible matchup and a lot of other things to consider, I'm taking the Suns, obviously, but I do not think that this will be in 4, 5, or 6. I think this will be in 7, actually. I mean, the Nuggets, I mean, they have great coaching as well with Mike Malone. I think they can readjust. But the problem, once again, it's funny because Jokic is obviously, it's either him that or KD that's the best in this series. But Jokic, he's absolutely going to get exploited on defense, whether it be in the pick and roll, the mid-range. I think he is far too slow to guard those guys. DeAndre Ayton as well, like you said, like you alluded to. It'll honestly, this what the series will come down to is the shooting, because you have to be spot on in order to get the advantage here, because everything else is like perfectly aligned. You just have to pray for a great shooting stroke. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to take Suns in 7, but the Nuggets are going to be fierce.
To be honest, yeah, I think it's dependent on how good the perimeter defenders on the Nuggets are, because Jokic is not going to be able to guard them in a pick and roll on a mid-range pull-up. But if you look at the defenders on Denver, Aaron Gordon, I think he's one of the better defenders in the league, very underrated. He can guard KD better than a lot of players can. He obviously can't stop him, but he can slow him down maybe a little bit. KCP and Bruce Brown match up really, really well with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. Bruce Brown is one of my... You know how good Bruce Brown was for the Nets.
Oh, last year. We do. Yeah. I miss you, bro. Come back. We need you back.
For real. But he, long defender, like crazy wingspan. He can bother Devin Booker a little bit. So, and they also have like Dunkel Jeff Green, who can also come off the bench and hit a couple of threes. So I think it can be close.
Never forget Game 5, Jeff Green. Never forget Jeff Green in Game 5.
I miss Jeff Green, man. But, yeah, I don't think it'll be close. But, ultimately, because of the bad matchup, I'll give it to the Suns. Then, also the second round matchup then, it's going to be... it was between the Clippers and the Kings, who just played again last night, with the Kings winning 128-127. So, who do you think wins this series?
Well, I mean... this is a tough one again, because regular season and playoffs are almost two completely different things. They're yin and yang almost. In my opinion, to be honest, I think the Clippers will take the series in 6 games.
I agree entirely, because I think when the Clippers lock in on defense, they will actually be one of the teams that can slow down the Kings' offense. Zubac matches up really good with Sabonis. Kawhi and Paul George match up really good with Fox, and... the Clippers have shooters everywhere, so yeah, I think the Clippers are just the better team.
That's just how it is. Yeah. Pretty simple.
Yeah, moving on to the conference finals then. The Suns versus the Clippers. This is actually a really good matchup, in my opinion. So who do you think wins this one?
It's a rematch of what we saw in 2021. And this is honestly, the grand finale, almost, isn't it? Chris Paul going up against his old franchise, Kevin Durant versus Kawhi Leonard. We haven't seen that in a while, by the way. And, Devin Booker against Paul George as well. This is going to be one of the better series to watch. Unfortunately, though, one has to emerge from it. And I'd say that team is going to be the Suns. 7-game series again.
I'm going to agree with you entirely again. I think it's going to be really tough, because last time... we saw Kawhi Leonard against KD, 2019 finals. He was amazing. He's one of the best matchups for KD in the league because he's an amazing defender. But ultimately, at this age in his career, I think KD will take advantage of him. He's a much more developed player at this rate, and he can play make too well to Devin Booker and Chris Paul. With all the screens that they run, with KD getting wide open mid-ranges, I don't think Kawhi can stick with him. They can always play an all-switching defense, but I don't know.
I just want to say this. Yeah, like... yeah. This result, listen, it's interchangeable, all right? Like, the Clippers could win this, the Suns could win this, but I'm taking the Suns for two reasons. One, the Clippers, did this to themselves. They haven't played enough together. The injuries happened. Okay, that was not in control, but they just haven't played enough games together to get them to that championship level. And in my opinion, it's just going to be way too much of a risk because once again, you got Russ and you got Paul George who doesn't have the best record in the playoffs, and your star players, you just have to rely on your role players, and that's always a big risk, but you have to see what happens. But the Suns, for me, take the cake.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be closer than most people would think because the Clippers have better depth. Because,
They do, sir.
yeah, like, way better depth. They have a lot of dynamic scorers off the bench. But
I think that the Suns' depth is really underrated, just
it is
saying.
underrated. They have, oh, who is it? Torrey Craig is a good player. Damian Lee's underrated as hell. Jacques Landale is pretty good, actually. Who am I forgetting?
It's Wainwright. I think he's great.
Ish Wainwright, yeah, he. I think he just got signed recently to a full contract, I believe. So happy for him. T.J. Warren also. People forgot how good he was in a couple of games for the Nets.
In games, I actually do. I was happy to have TJ on the Nets because he got a good mid-range game for sure.
Yeah. And then Okogie. Okogie's been crazy good for the Suns lately. One of the
I
best
know, right?
like 3-and-D players recently. So.
It's funny because he was awful on offense his Minnesota days, but now he's actually improving on that end, unlike somebody on the Nets who I'm not going to name. So that's great.
I actually remember Okogie from the first game that Kyrie ever played with the Nets. Okogie was guarding him on that final shot that Kyrie took when he had 50, and he missed it because he slipped and missed the mid-range. That's how I remember Josh Okogie. So I'm not the biggest Josh Okogie fan, but he's been great.
Well, he's always been an excellent defender the back then, and he still is. And now that he's improved on offense, that's going to be really, really upsetting for the league because Suns have more help for their stars.
For sure, for sure. All right. So that means that we have chosen the Suns to go to the finals. Next week, hopefully I can have you on again, man, and we'll talk about the Eastern Conference where you can talk about the seeding there. I'll just quickly recap that so people can know what we're going to talk about next week. The Bucks, Celtics. Oh, the Bucks have beaten the Celtics now for the first seed. The Bucks, the Celtics, the Sixers, the Cavs, the Knicks, who have looked amazing with Josh Hart, by the way. The Nets, the Heat, the Hawks, the Raptors, the Wizards. So we'll talk about that hopefully next week, my man. Like, thank you so much for being on. I think it was a great episode.
I think it was too. Thank you so much once again. Appreciate you.
Yeah. So just to conclude the episode then, just a shout out to all our pages. Make sure to listen to this podcast, which is going to come out today, obviously, on Spotify, YouTube, and iTunes podcasts. In addition, we're going to post clips and we post reels and post every single day on our main Instagram page called Dishing Heat Pod. You can also check out our two other analytics pages called Kyrie Analytics and Doncic Analytics, which I've started recently. Please check that out. We analyze moves from Kyrie and Luka every single day for like the entirety of their career. So I've started Kyrie in 2016 and Luka in 2018. So please check those two pages out. Check out our socials on Instagram and check us on all the platforms. Until next week, we're out.